Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Our telephone number, 312-981-7200, or you can text us at that number as well. We're talking this morning, C-A-T-S, rah, rah. It's probably something you cheer in your sleep. Dr. Drew Wagner sitting across from me. Welcome back to WGN Radio, my friend. It's been too long since you've been back in the studio.
Thanks, Steve. I remember it well.
Yeah, whenever Dr. Wagner was in Chicago, which at one point in your career was somewhat frequently, you're based in Atlanta, I'd stick you on the radio here, and it's good to see you again. We both serve on the same board at the Wynn Feline Foundation, which we'll talk about.
It's quite an organization, and you spend an inordinate amount of time in closed rooms with no windows.
So here we have a beautiful view in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You know, I have an idea. Let's go right to the phone. Sometimes I think I wait too long. So we're talking cats, 312-981-7200. Cat health. We have an announcement to make that was made at the Wynn Feline Foundation Symposium, which we'll talk about. And good morning. You are on the radio.
Hello, Steve.
Yes.
Steve, hi. Paxton here. I spoke to you on Father's Day, and I was waiting on the line, and you answered, and I was in a washout, and I was floating down the creek, and I had to hang up.
I don't recall a listener floating down the creek.
I just wanted to mention that to you. But it was back, you were talking about dogs, and I've got a one-year-old Labrador that has a yeast infection in his ears, and I just can't cure it. I went to the vet. And I did the antibiotic, and he just keeps shaking his head. And I just wanted your comments on that.
Well, it figures we have the cat vet in the studio. So yeast infection that doesn't seem to be going away. Now, there are new products that are out and available that your veterinarian can go to, and maybe you just haven't waited long enough. I don't know. Dr. Wagner?
Yeah, it's kind of a chronic disease in many dogs, and you see it in cats as well. Many times there's a particular yeast called Malassezia that is rather difficult to diagnose and culture, but can be seen when they take a sample and put it under a microscope. It's a tricky infection to get rid of, but that's something for your veterinarian to check for. It is treatable, so it takes quite a while to get rid of, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. It's got to hang in there with it.
Yeah. It's a long, probably a 2-3 month treatment for some dogs.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, well, thanks for that info. I love the show.
All right, thank you very much. 18 minutes before 7 on WGN Radio. So I mentioned the Wynn Feline Foundation. Dr. Wagner, what is this non-for-profit organization all about?
The Wynn Feline Foundation has been established for almost 50 years now. In fact, this is coming up to our 50th year. Quite a celebration. It was established by the Cat Fanciers Association long ago as a research and a foundation for cutting-edge research in feline medicine, which has been pretty much ignored in veterinary medicine for many, many years.
And if you have a cat, is there much that is known about cats that at one point wasn't studied or the studies were funded but by the Wynn Feline Foundation?
The Wynn Feline Foundation has been responsible for some of the leading research that's been done in feline medicine because you're right. It's been ignored by veterinary medicine for many, many years.
You mean cats have?
Cats have.
But, that's an interesting point. I mean, so cats are the most popular pet in America.
By far.
But yet, cats don't go, and I want your opinion as to why you think this might be. Cats don't go to the veterinarian as often as dogs do. There are more cats out there, but cats don't go to the vet. Our pet owners don't take them to the veterinarian. Then when they do, cat owners who clearly love and adore their cats, even in general, aren't, I'm just going by the data here, aren't willing to pay as much for treatment as dog owners are. You mentioned the Wynn Feline Foundation, or I did, we both did, and the Wynn Feline Foundation funds studies for cat health. We fund studies in the thousands and thousands of dollars at Wynn. I'm also on the board. the Canine Health Foundation, 3 times, 10 times as much money at times. There's just more money. People spend more money. They give more money to fund dog studies compared to cat studies. Cats are more often given up for behavior problems to animal shelters compared to dogs. So what is it about cats? We love them. There are more of them as pets. Yet, they're kind of like second-class citizens.
You know, it can be economic, but cats are programmed to not act sick until they're just about on death's door. If you think about it, they're largely desert animals and are programmed to look as healthy as possible. Or otherwise, in the wild, they're instant prey. So by the time most pet owners know their cats are sick, they're really, really sick.
They're very adept at masking illness. And I want to talk about the subtle signs of illness, what people can look for. Their cats aren't waving their paw and saying, I don't feel well. But there are some things which may be able to give you some clues that your cat that you think is doing well isn't doing quite as well as you think.
You know, sometimes in cats, all you see is that they start hiding, not grooming themselves as often, just being a little bit less active than they have been. This is particularly true with older cats.
Less active or more active?
More active in some diseases, true,
yeah.
True. So I think the take home here is that any time that you see a change in your cat that's going on for more than a day or two, either more activity, less activity, eating more, eating less, drinking more, drinking less.
Or missing the litter box. You know, people attribute to behavior, mm-hmm. and it might be a behavior issue, mm-hmm. but it might be intertwined with a medical issue as well.
Oh, many times. In fact, most of the behavior issues we see are actually medical in origin, and fortunately, they're usually easier to fix.
Yeah, yeah. Your calls, your text, and we do indeed have some text. 312-981-7200 is our number. Dr. Drew Wagner is in the studio. That means we have one of the top cat veterinarians in America right here. We will also talk about the Wynn Feline Foundation and this event that happened in Chicago and a very exciting announcement. If you love cats, you'll need to hear this. This is Steve Dale's Pet World, so it's kind of what we do right here. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can call, you can text, and we do have several texts. And one text is, my cat is grooming too much. I think it's too much. What shall I do?
That's actually something we see a fair amount in our practice. And most people assume that when they see that their cats have fleas. And fleas are a cause of it. Obviously, if your cat doesn't go outside unless you've got a dog or have moved into a place with fleas, which happens more often than you'd think, it's oftentimes not the problem. There are other medical conditions, such as allergic conditions that cats do get, hormonal conditions, even cancer in older cats can cause over-grooming.
So it could be from pain.
It can be from pain, certainly, and it can also be behavioral. I think people, and even some veterinarians, tend to jump to that conclusion.
So is this an example where people sometimes, including veterinarians, jump to the conclusion that it's behavior when you really do have to look at the medical possibilities first?
You always have to look at the medical possibilities first. You're going to miss most of these cases if you don't. And as I mentioned, it's always easier to treat medical problems than it is in behavior problems.
And I know one of the veterinary behaviorists did a study on exactly this with a dermatologist, a veterinary mm-hmm. dermatologist. And the result of that study was when thought to at first be behavior, a cat over-grooming, sometimes called barbering, mm-hmm. And turned out it really was medical and most often allergy-related in this
many
particular
times.
Study.
Right.
But see, your veterinarian is the answer to this?
Yeah, and particularly if you think about it, if your cat has a medical condition, chances are they're not very comfortable. So you really need to address this problem with your veterinarian.
All right. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. I think I could take that call, that first call, Jazzy. Okay, good. Good morning. You are on WGN.
And I'm glad to be here.
No, not you. You're on WGN. I'm talking to the phone caller. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I've got a cat that was perfectly fine, about 15 years old, and we brought him to the vet as a checkup. And when we got to the vet, they said he had a thyroid. You know, his thyroid was high, which is normal in cats. In fact, I hear that that's what most cats go through, and then their liver goes when they get old.
Well,
so,
okay.
Well, I've heard that comment. I'm not a vet. So we took him to the vet. He was perfectly fine. point being, and they said his thyroid's high, so you need to get him on the medication. So we started with the food first, or the medication first. They said that would be easiest, and it completely depressed him. It made him puke a little bit, and he was just a completely different cat. So they put him on the food, and the food would make him puke, the wet food. And they said, well, we need to take him off that. And we took him off that, got him all out of his system for a couple weeks. And now he's back to normal. He purrs. He, you know, wants to eat. He comes up to you. He's normal cat. But we don't have him on his thyroid, you know, medication anymore.
So if he really does have, I'll let Dr. Wagner answer. If he really does have hyperthyroid disease, I would suggest that it didn't just go away, and you still need a solution.
You certainly need a solution. Really, if you think about it, thyroid disease or hyperthyroidism, an elevated thyroid level in older cats particularly.
So it's common. It's not very normal.
It's very common, yeah. But it does occur gradually, and what it often does is increase their appetite and their activity. Those are not what you associate with a sick cat. Then when you treat them, finally, all of a sudden their thyroid level goes down and they eat less and they are less active, which happens fairly suddenly. So it doesn't sound like your cat's getting better, but actually it is. That's what a 15-year-old cat does act like. Oral medication usually works very well, but there's some cats that have problems with it. The diet can work to a degree. There's also a treatment called radioactive iodine that's curative for this disease, but they will die if this disease is not treated. Usually they die from heart failure.
Yeah, so there are several choices. You need to treat it, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
If it's there, mm-hmm. and you don't see the results of the test sitting here, but if this cat has that, definitely need to treat it. I think you've taught me several ways to do it. So there's surgery, which is not done very often anymore because
never.
There's no need to, mm-hmm. Because there are other options. Mm-hmm. One is diet, which apparently didn't work for this cat. One is
medication,
which perhaps didn't work for this cat. Another is radioactive iodine. You mentioned it, but you didn't mention what that is.
Radioactive iodine is a treatment that actually came from human medicine. It selectively destroys the part of the thyroid gland that's causing the problem, and it leaves the rest of the thyroid gland intact. It's actually a cure. Unfortunately, once this is administered to your cat, they are literally radioactive for several weeks. And it has to be done at a facility that can handle radioisotopes. They have to be isolated for several days until it's safe to take them home. But it is highly effective.
Yeah, and there are several facilities in the U.S. that do that. But it really depends on the cat and the cat's other medical conditions and all that that we cannot talk about here because we just don't know. Here's what we do know. There is something called feline infectious peritonitis. Boy, that sounds nasty, doesn't it? It is. It's something you don't want your cat to get. Mostly kittens get this disease. Always been and continues to be considered fatal. I mean, if this is the diagnosis, not good news for your kitten or sometimes a cat of any age. For the first time, research funded by the Wynn Feline Foundation that we had spoken about, this may change.
This may change. This is extremely cutting-edge research by Dr. Niels Petersen out of the University of California, Davis. It was funded by Wynn several years ago. That's coming to fruition now. He's using drugs that have been used in HIV in people, such as the protease inhibitors that fight viral diseases, with some significant effectiveness. This has been a disease that has been 100% fatal until now.
Yeah, more information about all of this if you're interested on my blog. That is stevedale.tv. Tomorrow is Monday, isn't it? I think so.
It is.
Yeah. So tomorrow I'll be on at 5 o'clock with Brian Noonan, who's filling in for Rokan. Dr. Wagner, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
The Wynn Feline Foundation is Wynn, W-I-N-N, felinefoundation.org, wynnfelinefoundation.org.